Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. This past Monday at Holy Family Cathedral, our diocese celebrated a massive Thanksgiving for one of its own priests, the newly ordained Archbishop Wells, who is being sent by Pope Francis to serve the church in the southern parts of Africa. Monday was the first time that I had the opportunity to meet Archbishop Wells, even though throughout the years I have heard a great deal about how wonderful of a servant he has been to the church, as he has spent more than two decades serving in various capacities in Rome. What struck me the most about Monday's Mass was listening to Archbishop Wells thank a variety of people who have helped him in different ways throughout the years, as he has worked diligently in serving God's church. In a unique way, Archbishop Wells' words of thanksgiving were of a great help to me as I began thinking about the events that occur in our gospel account. When we hear Peter say to the other disciples, "I am going fishing," and they respond to him, "We also will come with you," some scripture scholars will argue that this statement of going fishing is an indication of the disciples returning to their old ways of life, rather than embracing the ministry that Jesus has called them to fulfill. However, unlike Archbishop Wells, who had others to help and advise him in his ministry, and unlike many of us here today, who have had someone in our lives, whether it be a parent, a teacher, or a mentor, to help guide us with the various challenges we have faced in our lives, this was not the case for the disciples, especially in those first few days and weeks following the events of Easter. They didn't have someone teaching them about what it means to be a Christian, nor did they have someone showing them how to live as Christians. There were no RCIA classes for them to attend, and there was no code of canon law to help guide them in making decisions for the church. Instead, it was upon Peter and the rest of the disciples to work through the various challenges they would face in living out the faith that we share as they attempted to increase the number of followers for Christ. One of the first challenges they faced, and that many of us also face, was the challenge of evangelizing and spreading the gospel message of our Lord. The Gospel of John is filled with a great deal of symbolism. This could explain the existence of another strongly held belief regarding this fishing trip that the disciples have embarked upon. Could this be the Evangelist John's way of describing the disciples' first attempts at going out to do missionary work and of attempting to gather followers for Christ? The disciples have worked all night without any success until they hear the voice of Jesus both instruct and guide them in their work. The result was an overwhelming amount of fish being captured, a total of 153 large fish. This means then that the missionary efforts of the disciples and of the church will only be successful if we listen to the voice of Jesus and allow Him to guide us in our efforts. For on our own, our efforts will result in nothing. But with our Lord's help and guidance, we will be able to accomplish great things for our Lord and for the church. The question then becomes one of how do we remain in union with Christ so that we can always hear His voice guiding us along our journey in life? I believe that the answer to the question is revealed in the second part of our gospel account, when Peter and the disciples have all arrived on shore and are invited by Jesus to have breakfast with Him. Jesus begins to feed His disciples with bread and fish. This is reminiscent of the miracle story of the feeding of the 5,000 with bread and fish, which is spoken of in John's Gospel within a context of discussing the Eucharist. In other words, The meaning of this breakfast that Jesus offers his disciples is that of a Eucharistic meal which Jesus has prepared and shared with them. It is through this meal that the disciples all come to realize that it is Jesus who is standing there with them. The same is true for us. It is by our sharing and reception of our Lord in the Eucharist that we too, like the disciples, can come to realize Jesus within our own lives. It is also by our faithful reception of Jesus within the Eucharist that we too can hear him call out to us and to guide us in our own missionary activities. When the meal was over, Jesus turned to Peter and asked him three times, "Do you love me?" It was by a charcoal fire that Peter had denied Jesus three times. And now it is by another charcoal fire that Peter will reaffirm his love for Jesus three times. Every time Peter affirms his love for our Lord, Jesus in turn commands Peter to care for his flock, which is us, his people. Yet, could there be more to this conversation than just the threefold forgiveness of Peter's denial? Could there be more to it than just witnessing Peter being entrusted with the care of the church as its first shepherd? If we were to hear this conversation in the original Greek that the gospel was written within, then we would also hear a significant change to the series of questions asked by Jesus. In the Greek translation, there are two words used for love, agape and philia. Agape describes a type of deep devotional love, or better yet, a type of sacrificial love, the kind of love that we should have for God. Philia, it describes a type of brotherly love, the kind of love that we should have for one another. The first two times that Jesus questions Peter, he uses the word agape. Then, on a third and final time, he uses philia. While Peter, on the other hand, responds all three times using the word philia. So then, a better understanding of this conversation would go along the lines of Jesus asking, "Peter, do you love me sacrificially? Would you lay down your life for me?" And Peter responds, "Jesus, I love you like a brother." Second time, Jesus once again asks, "Peter, do you love me sacrificially? Do you love me more than anything else in this world? Would you lay down your life for me?" And again, Peter responds, "Jesus, I love you like a brother." Then it is on the third and final time that Jesus changes his question by asking, "Peter, do you at least love me like a brother?" To which Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, I love you like a brother." By changing the question, Jesus reveals that he is willing to meet Peter at the level that Peter is currently at in his love for Jesus. However, similar to the disciples' fishing trip, which was only successful when they listened to Jesus' words and allowed him to guide them and to instruct them, so too will the same occur for Peter. For now, he is able to love Jesus just like a brother. However, in time, with the help of God, Peter's love for Jesus, it will begin to develop and increase into a type of sacrificial love for our Lord. As Peter will one day endure a martyr's death because of his love for God. Do we love Jesus with a type of sacrificial love? Do we love him more than anything else in the world? When we consider these questions in our own lives, we may find ourselves unable to answer yes. Or maybe we answer our Lord the same way as Peter once answered him. For even though we love him, we may still struggle to demonstrate that love for him in our daily lives. We may not quite be at the level to love him sacrificially. But that's okay, because our Lord loves us in such a manner that just as he had done for Peter, Jesus will also meet us at the place where we are at in our love for him. And he will help us to grow in our love for him. Therefore, when we find ourselves struggling, let us never be afraid to return to our risen Lord in a sacrament of the Eucharist, to be our strength and guidance in our lives, just like he was for Peter and the disciples.